Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Rob Bradford a bit earlier on Jones and Keith, because Nick Fitzy Stevens, we have a big-ish move to talk about with your Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox have acquired veteran right-hander Sonny Gray in exchange for righty Richard Fitz and left-handed pitching prospect Brandon Clark. The Cardinals are also including $20 million to pay some of Gray's salary. Nick Fitzy Stevens, if I can base it on the texts and emails we've had this morning or early this afternoon, you're not exactly a big fan of this deal.
Consider me dubious. There are so many reasons to not necessarily want to put all of your faith and trust eggs in the Sonny Gray basket. Number one, the guy stinks against the Yankees. And also, he couldn't pitch in New York. And last time I checked, Boston is about as big a media market, or at least as big a baseball media market, with scrutiny and media galore, which I'm not sure this gentleman thrives under. Number two, last year, 14-8, 4.5, 4.25 ERA. Okay, fine. Middle to the back end of the rotation type of guy who, instead of just paying to come pitch for the Red Sox for a year, they sent a couple of prospects to get. All right, that almost feels like an overpay. Oh, good, wait. Of his $35 million, St. Louis is paying $20 million of it. Why is another team willing to pay this guy $20 million to not pitch for them? And he came from St. Louis. You know who their president of baseball operations is?
Bloom.
Chaim Bloom, who I don't trust at all. Andy, this guy's 36. I've already suffered from Corey Kluber syndrome. I don't need low rent Max Scherzer. If anything, I would have been happy they just went out and threw some money at Merrill Kelly, because I know that guy can pitch in the American League and pitch on the big stage. Sonny Gray feels like such a, let me see, I get to choose one word to describe it, meh move to me.
Okay, you take meh. I'm going to use one word to describe it, and we'll get it initial, and we're going to get more into that discussion later, because I do think what happens after this will matter how we think of the Sonny Gray deal. As Rob Bradford just said, Is this the guy to walk hand in hand as a co-number one or a number two with Garrett Crochet? No, he's not. What if I described him to you as a rich man's Lucas Giolito? What if I said to you, this guy who was a Cy Young runner-up just 3 years ago, who had 180 innings last year, 200 strikeouts, led the NL in strikeouts per walk, did give up some home runs, so that's where the Giolito comparison also continues to be apt. But if I told you you're going to get 32 starts, which is what he had a year ago and also 2 years ago, so two of the last 3 years, he started 32 games, gave you 180 innings, and he's a multiple-time 200 strikeout guy. You don't like that in the middle of your rotation? The middle of your rotation. I hope you're listening, Craig Breslow. I said the middle of the rotation, not the top of the rotation.
The middle of the rotation.
Oh, that's a pot shot. That feels like
a
cheap shot.
That's the first of many today. Okay, listen, you can also color me curious, if not dubious, about the Breslow acquisitions, because for every Crochet and Chapman, which were both excellent, even if you had to spend a lot to get Crochet, he certainly delivered ROI. You're also going to get Dustin May, and you're going to get other sort of like type of starters, or you're going to deal away Quinn Priester for $1.380 and a box of saltines. So, you know, he has a very high hit or miss ratio. Sonny, Andy, the guy's just keep getting up there. 36 years old. Like, he's no spring chicken. It's basically a one-year flyout for a couple of prospects. And no, I didn't necessarily think old Dickie Fitz and Clark were going to necessarily be stalwarts of the rotation or make or break the 2026 season for the Red Sox. It's, you know, hey, they're active. Good. Hot stove. Underway. Terrific. But, like, this is no number two starter for the Red Sox in the American League East. In the American League East, no chance. And, by the way, Giolito, when he was healthy last year, I know that's the big caveat, when healthy, was better than Sonny Gray. Better.
Yes, at times he was better. At times he was worse. Now, I want to throw some things out there. Let me set the table real quick, though. 2:30, we're going to have our weekly chat with Mark Schlereth. I think there's good perspective there. Former longtime NFL offensive lineman that can talk about the injuries to Will Campbell and to Jared Wilson and how the Patriots react and what the heck is going through the head of Adarian Lowe and Marcus Bryant and Doug Marone this week. So 2:30, we'll talk to Mark Schlereth. 4:30, our weekly chat with Brian Hoyer. We'll talk all things Patriots offense, goal line, quarterbacks, all those types of things with Brian Hoyer. Ted Johnson will join us at 3 o'clock. Ted Talk at 3:30. We'll get his breakdown of everything he saw in that lackluster win on Sunday in Cincinnati. But we are leading off talking Sonny Gray, your new number four starter for the Boston Red Sox.
Whoa, 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 if I say it enough,
it becomes true. I think that's, you know, you put it out there and it becomes true. How you feeling about this trade? I want to work the listeners in early if we can here. 617-779-7937. You can call, you can text. I will say, Fitzy, I used this as the poll today, and a lot of very quick votes coming in, and a lot of votes that are with you. At first glance, 66% voted meh. And what was the question? What is your reaction to the Red Sox trading for veteran starting pitcher Sonny Gray? The options were love it, meh, hate it. Good news is the hate it is only 6%, but yes, 66% meh leading the way. 28%, though, which I actually think is a pretty good percentage, love the deal for Sonny Gray. So, Fitzy, I want to ask you two questions. So you've painted the picture of just the sort of surface level Sonny Gray, what he is. He's an aging veteran starting pitcher, gives up home runs. The ERA is on the rise. The WAR is on the fall. Strikeouts pretty consistent. Innings pretty consistent. Can eat some innings for you. Can strike some people out. Not going to walk a bunch of guys. Okay, so that's sort of the Baseball Reference AI summation of what he brings to the table. Two questions that I want to throw out. How much does it matter what this move looks like in retrospect come January, February? If they trade for Joe Ryan as well, are you going to like this move a little bit more? If this is in conjunction with Joe Ryan and they sign, let's just say, Pete Alonso, are you going to like this move even more?
Well, I don't care. Andy, they could sign, they could fire Cora and make you manager so long as they have Joe Ryan and Pete Alonso. I'm completely on board for 2026.
Okay, so yes, you will.
Yes, so context will be king in this regard. 100%. And so long as Minnesota doesn't say to them, like, ah, gee, damn it, we wanted Fitz and Clark for Joe Ryan, that's it, the deal's off the table, then I'm completely okay with it. It's, if it's an appetizer and not the main course, I'm okay with it.
And then my second question is, and Dan Ball, I'd like to work you in here because I believe you are our trade deadline desk anchor, and so you may have some recollection. Where was this move at the Major League Baseball trade deadline? Because I feel like this is a move that people would have enjoyed at the trade deadline, bolstering the pitching staff with a veteran arm, had you made this move in the summer. I think even Fitzy, before I get to you, Dan, but real quick, Fitzy, had this move come at the trade deadline and you bolstered your starting pitching at the trade deadline, would you have liked this move more? Because I know I would have.
Would have been great. It would have been awesome. As a matter of fact, you know what else I would have liked? The Red Sox moving on to the ALDS, thanks to Sonny Gray, and having a little extra depth and being able to get a home gate for the playoffs and then holding on to him for the next year. We would have had a chance to test to see if Sonny Gray could handle pitching in Boston. So you either trade him away this offseason or you hold on to him. I would have been all for it because he would have been a massive upgrade over the corpse of Dustin May.
Okay, so Dan Ball, first of all, just to recap. Hey, Dan Ball, how
are you? Hi, good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon. Hey.
You know my memory, not the greatest in the world.
Sure.
So I just wanted to delve into your much younger brain.
Okay.
Was this on the radar come Major League Baseball's trade deadline? Did we hear about Sonny Gray a lot?
No, not that I can recall. I think St. Louis was still somewhat in the what are we mix.
Okay.
So in the conversation of Merrill Kelly and Charlie Morton, that's kind of the family where Sonny Gray falls into. I don't remember anything serious. I'm sure his name got brought up. He's an aging pitcher. Contract is what it is. I'm sure that it was mentioned, but I don't remember him being connected to the Red Sox by any stretch.
And we know that they had conversations because they made a trade. Just
yeah.
Not for him.
Right.
But I'm guessing in the midst of those conversations, there's opportunities to make it a package deal, throw other names in there. So I would have liked this trade a lot in the summer. I think this would have bolstered your rotation and given you some hope. And now, it may not have made any difference because I don't believe he hits home runs. So unless he hits home runs, it may not have made a difference in the postseason series with the Yankees, where scoring runs was a bit of an issue. But it may have made us feel better heading toward the postseason. Who knows? But right now, I don't hate the move. I don't know if I could have voted love it in my own poll, and I feel like there's a big drop-off between love it and meh. Meh is like you don't care, and love it is like, yeah, this is awesome. I don't care what they do. I love it.
Well, I don't think meh doesn't mean that you don't register an opinion. As you could hear from the opening of the show, I am far from ambivalent on this move. I just don't find it very it's not terribly whelming. It's teetering towards underwhelming to me, and I think it's an awful lot to spend.
I feel like I should have put meh leaning toward positive and meh leaning towards negative. I feel like people in the meh category have like a negative tone to their meh-ness. And I think, Fitzy, you're meh negative, meh positive. What is Dan Ball?
Restate my options again?
Well, your options in the real poll are love it, meh, hate it.
Okay. I would take the same option no matter if it was the real poll or what we're discussing here. I hate this. I'm not a fan of this at all.
Why?
Welcome, Dan. We have crackers and cheese for you.
Thank you very much. 4.90 ERA in 30 games, 23 starts, 11-9 record. That is the one full season that Sonny Gray has pitched on a team in a big market. He was so bad with the New York Yankees that they had to move him back to the Cincinnati Reds. Other than the Yankees, he's pitched with Oakland, Cincinnati, Minnesota, and St. Louis. Mm. On teams, playing seasons, playing games that did not matter. He had a mid-4 ERA in 2017 with the Yankees in the playoffs when they acquired him at the trade deadline. 6 walks, 6 strikeouts in those games. I don't view Sonny Gray as the big market playoff rental that the Red Sox should have been aiming to get in that lower slot in their rotation. So
Merrill
I'm not
Kelly.
A fan of this move.
Merrill Kelly was the guy, I'm telling you. And I don't know if they've approached him or if they had any interest in dialogue with him, if he's on the Brez bar, if you will, or the Brezdar. But guy pitched in the World Baseball Classic, guy has postseason experience. He was fine in Texas last year, has a lower ERA and better on a big stage. I'm with Dan. Guys that do their best pitching in medium to small markets belong in medium to small markets. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with them. It's just that it takes a different animal. It takes a different arm and a different mindset to thrive in the AL East, which is like, that is the hot zone. It's a totally different jungle out there.
So what's going to happen when Andrew Bailey and Connor Wong and the Red Sox consortium of pitching brain power get their hands on Sonny Gray? And I know he's a little older, so it's not like you're molding a young talent, but we've seen them make alterations, hell, suggest, I don't know, maybe he's never located his fastball, and somebody goes, hey, Sonny, why don't you locate your fastball? You might become a better pitcher. Is there any optimism that the team and organizational philosophies on pitching could help him become a better big market pitcher?
I mean, to me, Fitzy, I absolutely think that they'll be able to get the best physical performance out of Sonny Gray, but I think you're missing my point a little bit in that this is all a mental between the ears concern for me. This is what happens when you're pitching at Fenway Park in a meaningful AL East game, a game that in which hopefully you're competing for a pennant or trying to get to the World Series or whatever this win now mentality is that the Red Sox potentially could have this offseason. Andrew Bailey or Connor Wong in his pitch com or the pitching lab or Craig Breslow or anybody himself, Fitzy, is not going to be able to change the mental makeup that is the reason why I'm the most concerned about this one.
Exactamundo, Danielson. Andy, the next time that he gives up a 517-foot home run to Stanton or to Aaron Judge and it completely deflates him and then he's like, why am I here? I know he waived his no trade clause to come here, so either he was excited about the opportunity and believes in the Red Sox, or he hated St. Louis, which has a super boring downtown for what it's worth. I don't know, but I'm with you, Dan.
So the text line is lighting up with a variety of reactions to this move, as sort of we are articulating them here on WEEI Afternoons. Red Sox trade for Sonny Gray. Is he their number two, their number four? Is he, as the 508 says, sucky Gray, as he was with the Yankees? That's not very nice. We have some conflicting responses to me. There's 401, Hart, the voice of reason, with lots of question marks and exclamation points, like they almost don't trust that I could possibly be the voice of reason. Then the 774, no, Andy, no. Sonny Gray has 0-4 record at Fenway. Okay, you want to throw numbers 603? I'm going to assume that Just Baseball on Twitter with a blue check mark is a valid account because they put this tweet out just a little while ago. The only pitchers with 400-plus strikeouts and fewer than 80 walks over the last two seasons, Tarek Skubal, Garrett Crochet, and Sonny Gray. The Boston Red Sox now have two of those three, and if you believe some people, could trade for the third and have all the market cornered on those guys. But what are your thoughts on that? A guy that 400-plus strikeouts, less than 80 walks, just like Crochet and Skubal, huh, Fitzy? I like them apples.
Yeah, cool. How's that going to go against Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? He was pitching against Milwaukee and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Wait till he gets to Fenway Park on a Friday night.
Hitters hate Fenway Park.
And he feels the energy of the crowd, and it goes through his veins.
I'm Mr. Brightside. And when Will Fleming, here's the pitch. Swung on. Oh, no. That one's going to Brighton. We'll see that one tomorrow. Gone.
That's
another three-run home run given up by Sonny Gray. More like not-so-Sonny Gray.
Yeah. What in the world?
I could hear that, actually. You actually did a good job with that. You know, no one's ever hit a 600-foot. Oh, they have now. Good Lord, did Vlad crush that one.
That's just stupid.
No, I'm choosing.
That one needs a pilot and a stewardess. My God.
Wow.
You can't take your eyes off that bomb.
Is that your biggest concern, that he is sucky Gray, that he is a small market pitcher who's now a big market pitcher? Also, Dan Ball, the big market, small market, what's between his ears, what's between his ribs and his chest cavity or whatever the makeup is?
Thank God that's where it stayed.
Do you think that matters in terms of rotation? Like if the rotation starts the year with Garrett Crochet and then Joe Ryan and then Brian Bayo and he slots in as your number four starter just before Connolly Early, is he still feeling big city pressure when he takes the mound at Fenway Park, or is he like, wow, I'm a back of the rotation guy on a pretty damn good baseball team?
Well, I mean, are you playing for meaningful games?
Yes,
are
you playing meaningful baseball,
because
that's what this signals.
If he was in the Connolly Early situation in New York in the ALDS, the wild card series, we didn't think that Early was going to be in that spot. I have no idea where Sonny Gray is going to end up. He is a guy that he is reliable. He makes 30 plus starts to in upwards 150 to 200 innings.
Clocks in and clocks out.
Absolutely, he does. So odds are he's going to be in a situation to start a meaningful game for the Red Sox. He's going to be your Derek Lowe spot behind your other starters that you have. I don't think that really matters. If he is who we think he is, which is a guy that's supposed to post every single week, he's going to be making playoff starts, and he's going to be in a spot that I just don't trust. And he's also aging. That is also a concern. It's not my biggest, but you have to factor that in.
He's definitely aging. Can we agree on this? The fact that they went out and got a guy that is essentially a win-now rental who's kind of expensive signals that they're in win-now mode, that they're not building slowly with this young core of pitchers and lineup around Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Connolly Early, Peyton, like that they are believing, yes, we are building on a wild card berth last year, and we expect to now go compete for a pennant for a World Series. Can we agree that this move feels more like the win now than anything else?
I love the proactivity. I love the fact that they're out the gate. they're making moves. And again, if Sonny Gray is your number three, maybe tops or possibly number four starter, and you trade for Joe Ryan, or Brian Baio takes a step and Connolly Early is just absolutely lights out, or Peyton Tolley learns a second pitch, hell yeah, that's great. If Sonny Gray is your number two starter, I think you're asking for trouble. I think that's a big ask of somebody who, like Dan Ball enumerated and shared the statisticals of, is not a great big market, high pressure situation type pitcher. I think it could. It's a pretty thin ice there, guy. Pretty thin.
Trust Brezbot.
That's right. Trust Brezbot. It's early. He went out and got a veteran arm. I don't think he believes he's a number two. I don't think we have to worry about that. But time will tell as we see the other moves they make throughout the course of the offseason, of the winter. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about this Sonny Gray trade? Are the Red Sox in win-now mode? Is he a great fourth starter with his experience, his innings, his starts, his strikeouts? Or did they cheap out and they tried to find a pivot alternative for Joe Ryan and a better number two pitcher? Dan Ball?
Text line goes, this has Walker Buehler written all over it.
No, it doesn't.
You know is my favorite.
No, it doesn't. Come on now. He's going to be better than Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler at least was able to get outs in the World Series. Sonny Gray was like, oh, New York's, oh my God.
Yeah, Walker Buehler just couldn't get outs in the months of like March, April,
he's
May,
old.
June, July, August, all the important months to try to get back to the World Series. 617-779-7937.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. I think the last time I walked this many in a season, I threw 207 innings. So
that will not be a problem with Sonny Gray. We'll continue to react to this first move, initial move for the Boston Red Sox in what we are all hoping, or at least little gullible Andy is hoping, is going to be an active offseason. Up next, though, we need to get to a little football talk. The Patriots got a win in Cincinnati that some thought felt like a loss, or it certainly came at a massive cost. Mark Schlereth will have our weekly chat with the former NFL offensive lineman and Fox analyst. That's up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on WEEI. Back here on WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon at 2:30. That means we go right to the guest line to talk to our buddy Mark Schlereth. We're joined by the Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, how are we doing this week?
I am doing great. How are you guys?
We're pretty good. Not as good as we've been. I'm sure you saw the game in Cincinnati. They didn't necessarily dominate. They got the win, and it came at a cost. They lose a couple players to injury, namely a couple starting offensive linemen. So I want to start there. Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, left tackle, left guard, rookies. Looks like they're going to miss weeks, multiple weeks each, even if they avoided season-ending injury. Not ideal, but how big a deal is that?
I mean, that's huge, and they have been such a great tandem, but such a pleasant surprise, I think, for two rookies to be out there on the left side and really you know, ultimately dominate. I think that's been a, you know, that's just been one of the great things that they've had come their way. But listen, man, this is just the NFL. I mean, guys get hurt, guys get injured, and you've got to be able to figure out a way around those things. And I guess here's the good news. Like I said, not ideal, actually kind of sucks. But the good news is you've got an unbelievable offensive coordinator. And you can say whatever you want about Josh McDaniels as a head coach and his 10 years as a head coach, both of the Broncos and the Raiders. But that dude is a phenomenal game planner and a phenomenal play caller. And he understands his responsibility in keeping the quarterback clean. He understands his responsibility in how to call a game to help your offensive line go from, you know, like I always say, taking the passive out of pass protection and being the going from a passive kind of passing play to being able to be an aggressor in those situations. So I think the best coaches in the league, in my opinion, really understand everybody's issues and they mitigate their own issues before they attack, you know, the defense's issues. So you've got a great play caller in Josh McDaniels who will have a plan to help that left side. So that's the good news. But all that said, it still sucks to lose players.
So, Stink, it sounds like you feel as though Josh McDaniels may have to be first and foremost to, quote, step up in the absence of your left tackle and your left guard, be they rookies or not, being out for possibly a month or more. Who else needs to sort of step up and fill in here? Or is it just like not just a next man up, but like a team-wide need for everyone to do a little more?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things you just have to understand, like you have to understand, you know, like how difficult this situation is. And then, you know, you really have to mitigate your own potential disasters first. And I think it's really like, I think it's with a lot of younger coaches or a lot of coaches that maybe don't have the experience, you know, they'll see something that they want to attack. And even though it exposes a weakness of their own team, they can't overcome the fact that, man, this is a juicy matchup and we've got a potential to make a big play here. And, you know, experienced coaches, really great play callers, really great play designers and schematic designers will look at that and say, man, we can't attack that because it opens us up to potential disaster. And ultimately what ends up happening, and this is an old Belichick thing, right? More games are lost than won. That's how you lose games. You attack something, you say, man, we just got to take one more shot at it. Next thing you know, tight game, strip sack, fumble, game's over. You lose. And so those are the things that you have to be able to do as an organization. And so it is more than next man up. It's how are we going to give ourselves the best chance week in and week out. And I think they're unbelievably well coached. I think Vrabel is as good as it gets right now in the National Football League as far as being a head coach is concerned. So they'll have a plan.
Insider calls like this one with Mark Schlereth are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark, there were some goal-to-go situations on Sunday in Cincinnati against a Bengals defense that is supposed to be historically bad, where the Patriots just couldn't find success. I think they were actually stuffed at the one-yard line six times in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. There were tush pushes, traditional runs. Nothing could work. You've talked about Vrabel and the physicality and winning the trenches. How alarming is that they couldn't punch it in with six tries?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, obviously, and it is one of those things where, you know, sometimes you give your guys an opportunity and say, hey, man, we're gonna lean on you guys. You guys got to go out and win these battles. And, you know, and as a player, I always wanted that. I wanted that opportunity. I wanted to prove that, that you know, we could run the ball when you have to run the ball. And it's one of the things I always say about the red zone and everything else is running the ball is not, you know, popping a 14-yard run on third down and seven. You know, like, hey, we ran a draw, and next thing you know, you compile 145 yards rushing, but you really had two breakout runs. The rest of the time, you were garbage. Running the ball is when everybody and their brother's uncle knows you're going to run it. Everybody in the stadium, the defense knows it, you know it, everybody in the stadium knows it, and you still can churn out a first down. You still can churn out 4 yards. You still can pop one over the goal line. That's when you know you're good, when you know you can really run the ball. And you know, I appreciate Braves putting it on the guys and saying, man, we're going to put this on you guys, go out and make something happen. But when you see them get stuffed, when you see, you know, consistently on the goal line, them getting stuffed in those situations, that makes you draw back and go, okay, maybe we need to throw some play action. Maybe we need to change it up a little bit. And then you saw the second time they were down there, they got the fourth down and one from the 1 yard line. They ended up just kicking a field goal, I think, to make it 23-13 at the time. So, you know, it's one of those failures. You go back and you look at it and say, what can we do better? But it is disappointing, no question about it.
So with a team like the New York Giants coming to town, you know, their record is not great, and they're starting their third string quarterback, famous Jameis, who's going to take one and he's going to give you one. Should a team like that be kind of feared? You know, obviously you respect every opponent. It is the NFL. You want to try not to overlook them and get into a trap game. But a 2-10 team that is basically, you know, playing with house money and has nothing to lose, would a team like that be one that you would almost kind of have to prepare extra for because, you know, they're calling trick plays and have nothing to lose?
Yeah, I don't know about preparing extra. I mean, they're going to do what they do, and there's always going to be, you know, some unscouted looks that you're just going to have to deal with. But the bottom line is, if you look at them, and you mentioned their record at 2-10, man, how many games have they had the lead in the fourth quarter? 5 or 6 games? Mm-hmm. You know, they had the Broncos down by 18, 19 points, something like that. They had Chicago down 10 points, 10 points with like 3-something left to play. And they come back and, you know, and lose that game. They just fired their defensive coordinator because of all the collapses they've had in the fourth quarter. They already fired their head coach. So, these are real issues. Like, they have, when you watch them on film, I guarantee if you go through it, you'll be like, damn, they're a lot better than their record would indicate. They've just given it up, you know, at the end of games. So they're a dangerous team. And as you mentioned, famous Jameis, like, that dude can make some plays. You saw the reception he had for the touchdown the other day was remarkable. But, like, he'll throw into a team meeting now. He ain't afraid. Like, he will just throw right in there a defensive team meeting and see what comes, you know. And sometimes, obviously, you can turn that ball over, but sometimes he'll fit it in there and it'll become a big play. So it's that kind of, like I said, that unscouted look that hey, man, he'll never throw it over here, and he will. Those are things that you have to concern yourself with.
Mark, last week we asked you about a spitting incident. This week on Monday Night Football, we see Juwan Jennings get hit in the, I guess Ron Burgundy would call it the baby maker by Trayvon Moehrig. Kept his composure during the game, then kind of got a little retribution after the game. What's your history either punching or being punched in a very sensitive area?
Yeah, I don't, like, that wasn't, I mean, it hasn't happened, you know. I mean, you might get grazed in the coin purse every now and again, but it's not, like, intentional, I don't think. And so, you know, it just was, like, there was a different time, you know. Like, there was this frontier justice where you know, when I played, the league policed itself. And so there was, like, if somebody did something stupid, you took a, you know, mental inventory and you logged it. And then within the next drive or two, there was going to be some payback. And that's the way it operated. And you knew if you did something cheap, it was coming your way. And, you know, it was just like, I mean, listen, I'm going to hold you on every single play. And I knew as soon as we threw a pick, man, somebody's going to light my ass up. Like, because they're sick of being held. And so as soon as it happened, you're just like, there was an expectation. Somebody's going to blindside me. And you know what? And I probably deserve it. And so you kind of live with the consequences. And nobody was malicious in trying to injure you. But if you could knock somebody's ass out, you're going to take that shot. And so, like, right now there's so much, you know, we're so conscientious about not hurting people's feelings and, you know, and not, oh, we can't celebrate and we can't do this, that, and the other, that, I don't know, it just feels like there's, you know, the retribution is after the fact, almost fake tough guy, hold me back, as opposed to, you know, the way it used to be, where you really get after somebody within the, you know, between the whistles.
All right, I'll ask lastly, as a longtime follower of all the food stuff you do with the stinking green chili and the queso and all that jazz, I know you're a big food guy, big tailgater, so what does the Schlereth Thanksgiving look like, and what's the power ranking on the dishes and how you prep your Thanksgiving meal?
Well, my wife does all the cooking, so I just partake. But the one thing that I do is for years and years and years, my mother picked cranberries, wild cranberries from Alaska, and she would send them down. And they're very small, very tart cranberries, and I make the cranberry sauce. And really, my Thanksgiving dinner really consists of nothing but turkey and cranberry sauce. And I smother my turkey in the cranberry sauce, and that's pretty much all I eat. And it's freaking delicious. It's the best cranberry sauce you ever had.
All right. I would say that is on brand for an NFL offensive lineman. Mark Schlereth, we appreciate you joining us. Do have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy all the good football games Thursday, Friday over the weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Mark had a very distinct reaction on who needs to step up for the Patriots in the wake of the Will Campbell situation injury. We'll talk about that next. And we'll also look at the rankings. The rankings are out. And did you know the Patriots actually fell in one power ranking this week with a win in Cincinnati? That's up next here on
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
But the good news is you've got an unbelievable offensive coordinator, and you can say whatever you want about Josh McDaniels, but that dude is a phenomenal game planner and a phenomenal play caller. I think the best coaches in the league, in my opinion, really understand everybody's issues, and they mitigate their own issues before they attack, you know, the defense's issues. So you've got a great play caller in Josh McDaniels who will have a plan to help that left side. So that's the good news. But all that said, it still sucks to lose players.
Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Rewind feature, AUDACY, or just follow the WEEI Afternoons podcast wherever you want to get your podcasts. Fitzy, I agree with him that Josh is, you know, I like Josh as a play caller and a coordinator, and I think he has some pressure on him to adjust the offense with the injuries on the offensive line. If I also kind of sifted through what Schlereth was saying there about strengths and weaknesses, and now you have to reconsider those, sometimes you have to prioritize covering up your own weaknesses, I think that's an admission. This team's not going to be able to throw the ball down the field as much, take as many shots, mm-hmm. make as many plays longer in the passing game. It just is. That's the situation.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was thinking earlier today in the pecking order of people that I believe are going to have to step up or who are going to become the playmakers over the next few weeks until the offensive line re-solidifies, if at all.
Yep.
You're going to be needing, like, you're going to need Diggs and Douglas
yep.
and your running backs to get open quick and give Drake May outlets, because if Vodarian Lowe and Ben Brown play up to their absolute best, it's going to be at most 75% of what Wilson and Will Campbell gave you.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too with Pop Douglas. Could we? So we saw his role change from what some of us thought might be that volume-based quick throw slot role to, hey, is this guy just a big play guy occasionally down the field?
The vertical slot.
Yeah, well, now he might just be a more traditional slot. The other thing that came into my mind is, hey, Drake, when you're throwing it to Travion Henderson in the flat, look at him. I don't need any cute no looks. Let's complete those passes. I don't remember.
What did he describe it yesterday? He's like, well, when I threw that one to Travion / Hoop.
Yeah, let's
and dropped it in the middle. Yeah,
we're gonna need those short passes to be a probably slightly bigger part of the passing game for the Patriots. So we'll keep an eye on that. Obviously, their first opportunity to see that do that will be Monday night at Gillette Stadium against the Giants. Recapping Sunday, though, Fitzy, did you know the Patriots dropped in the power rankings? Well, at least one power ranking. What do you think about that? Was that performance worthy of dropping from where they were?
I mean, you won, and last I was told, and several listeners and texters reminded us during the postgame show and yesterday as well, a win is a win, and that's always to be celebrated and admired in the NFL. So, if anything, they should have held their ground. It's just that they probably shouldn't have advanced. To drop? I'd love to know who took their place.
So most power rankings, they either stayed where they were. Some people even had to move up a little bit, like Yahoo. They went from 6 to 4. The Athletic, they went from 5 to 4. Most places, like Fox Sports, stayed at 2. CBS stayed at 2. ESPN stayed at 2.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But your website, Fitzy, you know what it is? The
Pro
Ringer.
Football Talk? Oh, The Ringer, yes.
Had them at 8. Now has them at 9. Knock, knock, knocking on the door of falling out of the top 10 soon with that victory.
A 10-2. The team, the first team to 10 wins. The team, the only team with 10 wins in the NFL. They are now the ninth. I'm telling you, the bias for at the Ringer in the non-Bill Simmons department for all things Boston is very, very real.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you might be able to convince me dropping them from 2 to 3 or 4 to 5 as like one of the best teams in football. You see them go to Cincinnati, they scuffle a little bit, they lose a couple good players. But you already had them ranked the lowest of anybody. You had them at 8, and you thought that was... So you now think there's another team that's better than them. I thought that was ridiculous.
I can't think of more than 4 or 5. Obviously, no. The Rams.
Yes.
Maybe the Eagles, but they blew it on Sunday. They puked on their own shoes.
Yep.
Certainly no one in the AFC North, not the Colts, and maybe the Broncos. They shouldn't be any lower than 4th in anyone's power rankings.
And if you had them 8, you should be considering moving them up to 7 or 6, not considering moving them down from 8 to 9. But that's the Ringer for you, and that's our little weekly recap of the Patriots and where they are in the power rankings after that win that felt like a loss to some in Cincinnati. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means the big guy, Ted Johnson, in the house. Also means it's time for our three-point stances. And Fitz, you ever hear that old phrase, sometimes you say it best when you say nothing at all? I'm not sure that Jaylen Brown is familiar with that. That will be the topic of my three-point stance up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.